One thing I've learned after all these years, you're gonna save yourself a whole lot of tears. Don't try to figure out who was wrong and who was right. Got to move along, baby. Let's ride. You got to roll with the punches. Yeah, you got to go with the flow.
Hey, hi everybody. Your old friend Mike Houlihan here. Welcome back to Hibernian Radio. So glad you could join us. Show is brought to you by McCann's Irish Oatmeal and Mike Haggerty Buick GMC Volkswagen. Special thanks to Mike, Dick, and Bill Haggerty for joining us once again. Got a great show for you tonight. But one of the things I want to, you know, I did this intro for the last 3 weeks. So I'm going to give you the abbreviated version tonight. But if you feel left out, you can always go back and listen to the podcast at hibernianradio.org. So the whole idea is, back in 2013, I started Hibernian Transmedia, a public charity dedicated to the preservation and promotion of Irish culture and heritage, Irish and Irish American culture. So over the years, we've done radio shows. We did the Skinny and Hooli show for 9 years, and we've done the Crack for 4 years, and we have the Hooli's Hooli radio show. We also have the annual Irish American Movie Hooli Film Festival, as well as a bunch of TV programs, Our Irish Pub, and stuff like that. But one of the things we've been concentrating on is getting in touch with our roots, obviously. And one of those things is, if you read any Irish mythology, you come across all the Irish heroes like Oisin and Finn McCool and guys like that. And so for us to discover the myths growing from our own experience here in Irish Chicago, all we have to do is look to our first responders, our Irish police, firefighters, and paramedics. These are the heroes of our time, fighting in a war that never ends, risking their lives for the safety and well-being of us and our families. So that's what this new show, Hibernian Radio, is going to do. We're trying to uncover the oral history and stories of our mythical Irish heroes and warriors. And we have three of them here on the show tonight. Firefighters, Pat Kwan, Bill Oswald, and Marty Doherty. Guys, welcome to the Hibernian Radio Show.
Thank you. Thanks, Hooli. Thanks for having us.
It's our distinct pleasure. Now, you guys all work in the same firehouse, right?
No. Negative.
No. Oh,
okay.
We serve kind of dual roles with the fire department there. Not only are we firemen in different houses throughout the city, but we're uniquely, we share an office at the Union Hall, basically.
Okay.
And so
we had the, who's the guy who runs the union? What's the president's name?
Right now it's Jim Tracy.
Oh, no, there was a different guy.
It was Tom Ryan before.
Tom Ryan, we had him on the show.
Absolutely. So I know you had Pat Fitzmaurice on the show a couple weeks ago.
Absolutely.
Our job is to keep Pat Fitzmaurice out of trouble, or get him out of trouble when,
he gets in.
Yeah. He keeps us busy. But I'll tip it off to the chief steward there, Marty Doherty there. He was the one who actually nicknamed our office, and it does have a bit of a an Irish theme to it.
Tell us, Marty.
Well, when we got in there, Bill Murphy, another Irishman, he couldn't be here tonight, he's on duty. He wanted to call us the Swamp.
The Swamp?
The Swamp, you remember MASH?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of good work done out of there, but they didn't always follow the rules. So we were the Swamp for a while, and then I said, well, you know, Swamp is also, you know, the Bog is more my style, so.
Yeah.
We started calling it the Bog. It's stuck ever since. We got our office and then a couple other satellite offices inside that Union Hall there. We got the Bog North, the Bog South.
Yeah. Billy Oswald runs the Bog North.
And this is the contract enforcement end of the union, is
yeah,
that right?
So we work for the Director of Contract Enforcement, Mike Buckus, and he's assembled a team, and we basically handle a variety of matters for the union there. And like I said, Marty came up with the idea of calling it a Bog. I mean, we've got four members in there in our office. We've got a Doherty, a Kwan, a Murphy, and a Riley. So it was only
fitting
that we relate that to our Irish heritage.
Sure.
And Marty coined the nickname there of our office.
So your guys are also full-time firefighters.
Correct, right? Yeah. So okay. We're still doing our duties at the firehouse, and then on our off days, we're down in the Bog.
Good for you.
Except for me.
You were there full time at
recently,
the Bog?
Recently retired.
Oh, good for you. Okay.
Part time at the Bog.
Where did you grow up, Pat?
I'm a St. Cajunan guy.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah. Born and bred on the south side of Chicago, right there in the Kennedy Park area. St. Cajunan, and moved on to Brother Rice. And
your dad is Lips.
My dad is Lips.
Your mom is Mrs. Lips.
Yeah, my dad was considered a down the hill boy. He grew up with the Sheehans, and poor Grandma Quan there hated the Sheehans because the older Sheehans would buy the younger ones beer, and then the Quan boys would come home. A little under the weather there.
Going east on Ashland. Yeah. How about you, Bill? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up back at the Yards.
Wow. Good for you.
And eventually went to
St. Gall's. Is that?
St. Michael's.
St. Michael's. Okay.
Yeah. 49th and Damon, St. Michael's.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Hubbard.
Oh, right.
Greyhound.
Yeah. And where do you live? You don't live there now.
I'm in Mount Greenwood right now.
Oh, sure. Of course.
With the rest of the firemen.
Yeah.
And policemen.
And how about you, Marty?
Everyone has probably heard of this one. I grew up in St. Denis.
Oh, sure.
Pride of Ashburn.
Yeah.
83rd and St. Louis.
Yeah.
A point of information there. We used to beat St. Denis all the time in football there.
Never happened.
So I can see you have varying degrees of years in the department.
Oh, yeah. You can tell the... The youngest guy is the one doing all the talking.
I did notice that.
Yeah.
So when did you get on the job, Bill?
I came on in 1988.
Oh, okay.
We were part of a day and night class. It was the first day and night class ever.
What does that mean?
We started, my class started at 8 in the morning, and we crossed with another group about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So they worked until the night.
Oh, wow.
First time ever they had a dual class.
And what firehouse are you working out of? Where did you work out of most of your career?
I retire as lieutenant of Squad 1.
Where's that?
Downtown here in Dearborn, Illinois.
Oh, wow. Downtown.
You're in Squad 1 Still District right now.
This is it right here.
Oh, are we?
Yeah.
Cool.
I helped them find the parking spot here.
Marty, what house were you at?
I was at, I came on in 1999, the new breed for a new millennium.
Yeah.
We were one of the first EMT classes. I got assigned Engine 78. You might know that as the Wrigley Field Firehouse.
Oh, yeah.
Where's Wrigley Field at? Never heard of it.
2016 World
Waveland.
Champions.
Isn't it on Waveland?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I did 13 years there. A lot of fun.
I'll bet.
A lot of fun. Met a lot of people.
You get a lot of calls to Wrigley Field. Someone
we
having
had
a heart
few
attack
back
or whatever.
We've put the defibrillator on a few people in there.
Yeah.
They weren't always that good.
Did you ever see a World Series out of that firehouse?
There's a Sox fan here.
Yeah, here we go. I asked him not to bring up this topic.
And what house did you work out of?
So I'm out of South Shore, 73rd and Kingston.
Oh, okay. That's got to be interesting.
That's it. It is. Sure, absolutely
is. A lot more fires in that neighborhood. Huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're busy out there.
A lot of other things, too.
Yeah, I can imagine. Is that where you started?
I did. I started there on the ambulance. And our sidekick here, our security guard, Joe here, Cavillo, he was one of our guys, too. He was on the ambulance over there. One of the greatest ambulances in the city of Chicago, Ambulance 50.
Now, Fitzmaurice is a EFT chief, right?
Fitzmaurice is a paramedic field chief, yeah.
So he has several ambulances that he, keeps an eye on.
Oh, yeah, he keeps an eye on probably anywhere between probably 7 to 10 ambulances now.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, which is surprising for him. He's not a good multitasker. And, in fact, he was supposed to leave his tab open for us from when he was here. And,
sure.
Yeah, we were informed it was closed.
And so you just a paramedic, I don't mean just a paramedic, but you have to do a lot more training for that, right?
Not so much. No, we went through a 3-month academy as a paramedic, and then it's a lot of more school up front.
Oh, it's 3 months.
Yeah,
you'll learn how to be a paramedic.
So yeah, you got to
but
first,
it's intensive. I could imagine.
Well, you're a paramedic before you come on the job, so it's probably about a year and a half worth of training before you even get on the job. And
yeah.
Then we got to teach them how to be firemen.
Yeah. So they come in all cocky as paramedics, and you go, hey, no.
They bring their medic time with them, yeah. We got to.
My son was trying to get on the fire department years ago, so he took a paramedic course at, I think it was Westlake Hospital. So one night I had to pick him up there, and he's standing out in the emergency, you know, where the ambulances come. He's smoking a cigarette, and he's got a, what do you call those, a stethoscope. I said, what the hell do you think you're doing? He's trying to pick up chicks with the stethoscope on. I said, good luck with
Dr.
that.
Dr. Houlihan.
Yes, exactly. All right, so you've been through, I'm imagining, in all your years, some incredible situations. Anybody got a good one you want to tell me about?
I don't know where
ever
to start.
Ever got any jumpers?
Jumpers, huh?
I get them all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Well, no Cub kidding. Fans
oh,
jump
because
a lot,
you're downtown.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
A lot of suicide attempts.
And where are they? In the up in a big building? You got to...
Yeah, upper floors. We even had one on our way to the incident. The person had jumped, and it was somebody from the police pension fund.
Oh, wow.
We found out that he had called the spouse and said, I'm done. And we get there and took a fire extinguisher and hit it through the window.
Oh, he
and,
broke the window.
And then jumped forward.
Holy cow.
But they're not all that bad. We've had a lot where we did make rescues.
Is the State of Illinois building, is that in your district?
Yes.
You know what? I used to work there years ago. And there were a lot of jumpers there.
That was...
At a Target. You know, that inner thing?
Yeah, the inner circle.
Yeah, and there was like a Target on the basement floor.
That was common.
And guys would be taking dives off that top balcony, 18 floors or 14 or whatever, and aiming for that bullseye and then splat.
Yeah, it was a common atrium in that
building
there.
Yeah.
It's a shame we couldn't get Rounder to jump.
Thank you for saying that. I agree.
Wrigleyville, I had one. Wrigleyville, we got a suicide attempt. He wouldn't open the door. When we bashed the
now
door
who calls
in,
us in? They just say, hey, we're
the police
about
were already there, too, and but the door was locked, so they
Marty, was
us.
That around, like, October of 2003, maybe? The Steve Bartman game, maybe?
No. Can you cut his mic off?
Hey, we got a Cub fan working the board, so you're not going to hear any more of that.
He wanted a serious story. And
yeah.
So this guy, when we finally broke the door, this guy, he climbed out. He started struggling.
Now how did they know he was going to bump himself off? Did he?
Well, I think he was talking behind the door, and you're not coming in here. But somebody had called, probably family
concerned
or friends were concerned.
Yeah.
We finally broke the door down, and we went in, and I just happened to be one of the first ones in, and he was halfway out the window.
Oh.
Now, I don't know if he was really going to go
what
through.
What floor were you guys on?
Yeah, we were up.
Pretty high.
A few floors anyway.
Yeah.
So I grabbed onto him, and I wasn't as small as I was when I came out of the academy. So I just held onto him, and that's as far as he went.
Yeah.
And he complained and cried, and we pulled him back in. And the moral, the funny thing of the story was all he complained about afterwards was that I had stretched and ripped his sweater. Once he got back into the room, I stretched and ripped his sweater.
Gee, I'm sorry about that.
So, of course, the guys at the house, if I can throw a shout-out to Pat Reardon, Pat Hennigan, Pat Gallagher, and Keith Wickery, Jimmy Carter, another Irish house. I took a lot of grief for several years because I ripped
stretching
and
his sweater
I stretched up. And ripped this guy's sweater. But the joke was that he was not going anywhere because I had been cooking and put on a little weight.
Yeah, you were just a wee bit.
I was the anchor. I was an anchor.
You were an anchor.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Don't sell yourself short.
I can't imagine being it. Well, isn't that what they say? The war that never ends, fighting fires. You know, it just keeps coming and coming and coming.
Yeah.
What is it when there's like a like give you an example when the Cubs won the World Series. Did you get a lot of calls then?
Well, it was a shock. The whole
was
in shock.
Were they?
I experienced the Bulls championships.
Okay, that's what I was.
Which
was
very outrageous.
Yeah. Were they burning stuff?
Burn everything. At the time, I was assigned downtown, and we hit the whole Roosevelt corridor. and from like Maxwell Street all the way to the west side.
And they're just burning it to celebrate.
Yeah.
That's nuts. Yeah. Huh.
We were out all night.
No kidding.
And then that was just my district. There, you know, you hit the our fifth district, which was around Ashland Avenue, 63rd Street. They were up and down. They're doing the same thing.
Wow. Did you ever see that TV show with Dennis Leary? The heck was the name of that?
Rescue Me.
Rescue Me.
Oh, yeah. One. Yeah, New York one.
I thought that was pretty good.
My brothers in New York.
How real is that?
I don't know how, you know.
Not a drama.
I don't know. We don't work in New York, but we work in Chicago here, and I can tell you, Chicago Fire, there may be a little bit of difference of what goes on there in the streets of Chicago versus what goes on there in Hollywood, you know?
Yeah. You know, Pat Fitzmaurice.
Oh, God. Hey, listen, and we'll apologize right now. Obviously, we're union members, and we get guys out of trouble. And Pat Fitzmaurice got in a little bit of trouble on your show because he dropped a lot of swear words that weren't edited out
when
I listened.
We bleeped them
out.
We bleeped them
out. Not when I listened.
Come on.
I apologize for that. And, you know, you can discipline him accordingly. We'll grieve it and hopefully reduce it.
Hey, he had his show. This is our show.
Yes, exactly. That's right. Forget about him.
Enough with Pat Fitzmaurice.
All right, enough with Fitz.
But there is a camaraderie with New York firefighters and Boston firefighters, and am I right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, especially
we all
the
respect
Irish.
Respect each other.
Yeah.
Working at Wrigley every summer. Well, it's year round now.
Yeah.
But especially in the summer, Philadelphia, Boston, New York, LA.
They stop by the firehouse.
And every other fire department volunteer paid on call across the country. Wrigley is a destination spot.
Sure.
And they all want to stop in and see the little firehouse in left field.
Yeah.
Can we get a picture? Can we get a shirt?
Oh, wow. A shirt? Yeah.
You get the Boston, you get the New York guys in there and you ask them where they're from.
Yeah.
You know, is it busy? And they're always from the busiest engine in the city or the busiest.
Sure, they always
the busiest ladder.
You know. Ladder. Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's all good fun. It's all good fun.
So all the union stuff is volunteer.
No, right? we're paid a per diem.
Oh, okay.
We do call.
We do work for the union, and like I said, we're pretty much the nucleus in there. It's pretty much set up like an Irish house there. You know, the door is always open. There's a kettle there for tea in the morning for some people there, and it's a gathering place. You know,
he's the only one that drinks tea.
How many firefighters are there in Chicago?
So right now we're just under 5,000.
That's all?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so we
second largest municipal department in the country.
What's the biggest?
New York.
Oh, yeah.
L.A. County is bigger than us, but they're countywide.
Yeah. They're countywide, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're second city-wise.
And is that enough? Or can you guys say?
No, I don't want to. It's never enough.
Yeah, I would think, yeah. And on top of being paramedics and firefighters, you also have to know a lot about the equipment that you're using, the trucks you're driving and all that stuff. And there's all kinds of new, like I worked on a case years ago about a kid. Bill is pointing to himself. Yes, I'm the guy.
He's a squad guy here, so they're like okay. It's a different breed. He actually should have his own table to sit at.
You know, like the TV show, Chicago Fire?
Yeah.
Their premise was Squad 1.
Ah, okay.
Or Squad 5 and 2.
There isn't a tool that Bill hasn't had his hands on.
Whoa.
Thanks, Marty.
But I'm getting that rim shot. There you go. Pat Kwan just pulled out his list.
I got some notes here, and okay. I know you usually do the obituaries, but
we do.
I just thought, for this one, maybe to skip ahead just a few, just a wee bit here.
Okay.
Today is the 216th anniversary of Arthur Guinness's death. He died January 23rd of 1803. So,
okay.
The Bog did a little bit of research before coming in here. And we thought that'd be fitting enough. Yes, it's death.
I'm having a Guinness right now.
We're gonna have a pint for Arthur there. You know,
he's playing some music for you.
Okay. Absolutely.
I want to hear some more. Terrific stories.
Terrific.
Of climbing up the ladder and.
I got a couple stories for me. Obviously, I'm the youngest guy here. Been through a couple of incidences. So I don't know if you remember when Mike Flisk was killed.
Yes. His daughter was in the St. Patrick's Day Parade Queen Court.
Yeah.
Bang.
So I was on ambulance 50 that day when Mike Flisk was killed. He was shot in the head there back on 80th and Burnham.
Yeah.
In an alley. And it was something I went through, and I was on, you know, not say you're honored, but thank God I was there that day. The outcome wasn't what we expected, and it was nice to see that, you know, I had the father that day, and it beat me up a little bit mentally, but now to see that his kid had come on the job and is now a fireman on our side.
Oh, his
and
son?
Actually one of our stewards.
Oh,
Mike's
no
Mike's one of the union
Mike
stewards.
Flisk, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, Mike Flisk Jr. is one of the union
That's
stewards
terrific.
There. So to see him come back. And then the other one was the 75th Street fire.
Well, I think one of the other brothers is becoming a cop, correct?
He is becoming a cop, I do believe,
wow,
yeah.
That's terrific.
The other one I had was the 75th Street fire, 1744 East 75th. We lost two firemen there, Corey Ankum and Ed Stringer.
You lost them.
Yeah, yeah. We were.
What year was that?
That was in 2010. So Flisk was November 10th or November 26th of 2010, and December 22nd of 2010 was the 75th Street fire. Ironically, it was also the same date as the Stockyard fire, where we lost 22
yeah,
firemen
sure,
there.
Yeah.
So before 9/11, that was the greatest loss of firefighters' death in the nation.
Yeah,
was at that Stockyard fire. So unfortunately, I was on that run too. So
you guys know Herbie Johnson?
I know Herbie very well.
Yes.
I knew him very well, yeah.
He was my instructor.
No kidding.
Herbie worked
many a fire with him.
I heard he was just a terrific guy.
Herbie trained easily 1,200, 1,500 firemen
really?
While he was down
God
at the academy.
Yeah.
He saved me once. You want a good story?
Yeah. Let me hear it.
We were in the academy, and we had it was our day for a live burn. We used to call it smoke appreciation.
What is that, a live burn?
We were going to burn... So,
Pat just ran into the bathroom.
We were going to burn. He's going to have a very small bladder, Pat.
12-minute clock.
So we were still in the academy, but it was a day. It was like a field trip. So it was a building that they were going to tear down anyway. And we call it smoke appreciation. They would light
So they go up to a building that's going to get trashed anyway.
Yeah, this was storefronts with some, I think, apartments up on top, yeah. 89th and Loomis.
Oh, wow.
You would light up some pallets in a 55-gallon drum, get the room real smoky, and then you'd have candidates go in there and put it out. No tanks, but just appreciate getting low and learning what the instructors had told you. Herbie was one of our lead instructors, and we had just finished doing our thing on the second floor, and me and John Flood, a classmate of mine, new captain, we were picking up the hose on the stairs, and another group was going to put the fire out on the first floor. What they didn't realize, though, is that the fire had kind of gotten away when they shut the door.
Oh, wow.
And when they opened the door, the fire kind of chased them away from there and chased them out of the building. We went from talking to each other in clear visibility to hitting the deck and zero visibility and a lot of black smoke. John and I hit the deck. They teach you to start following the line out. But we had
the line of the hose.
The line of the hose. But we were picking up the hose, so we had it all piled up on the stairwell. And
followed
the line, and I said, I can't find the line. And we're no tanks. This was smoke appreciation, so we're all kind of gagging.
Are you on walkie-talkies or anything? Or?
No radios back then.
Oh, and Marty, when you follow the line out, how did he teach you to follow the line out?
You follow the Higbee cut.
I don't know, but how do we figure that out? Males and females, remember?
You follow the...
Males go in and females go out,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Can I finish?
Yes.
No.
So the
Herbie.
They're outside. Herbie's outside, and the instructor said, that got away from us. We got to go back inside, and they're doing a head count. Herbie says, I'm missing two.
Wow.
And with that, from what I've told, is that he marched into the building, and I heard, anybody in here? He had that voice.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Herbie. He had that voice. And John Flood said, we're up here. And we were both gagging.
Yeah.
And
smoke inhalation.
Grabbed both of us. He grabbed both of us. And we got out to the front lawn. And I remember him kind of just shoving me out into the front lawn into some fresh air. And we weren't hurt, but we took a breather after that. But I just, you know, that just shows you, even in training, you know, things can go a little goofy on you.
There's a great... meme or whatever you call those things, and it's a picture of the guys from Chicago Fire, you know, and they're all like male model types, and said, this is what TV thinks a fireman looks like. And then there's a picture of Herbie Johnson. This is what a real firefighter looks like.
Yeah, you know? And I saw him just about a, he got just gotten promoted not long before he got killed, and I was at his promotional party, and I told him to tell that story, and he kind of remembered it too, and he was laughing. Of course, by then the story had changed that he
he embellished
he had,
it.
He had picked me up under his arm, and he had Flood on his shoulder.
Oh yeah,
you know, neither one of us, you know, light, but what a great man. I can't say enough about Herbie and what he did for
and
his
when
fire department.
His funeral was just amazing. I mean,
my wife knew that. I it hit me hard. It was really the first guy that I was intimate with that who had gotten killed, and it hit me hard for a week, a couple
I
weeks.
Can imagine. Yeah,
and Herbie was a neighborhood icon. Everybody knew
sure,
him in the neighborhood.
On the south side, yeah.
You know, St. Cajun. He raised his family in St. Cajun, and. Yeah, just to see, you know, his son Mickey coming on the job, and maybe we get Mickey on the show one of these days, you know.
Is his son a firefighter?
His son just came on, yeah, the last class.
That's terrific.
Yeah, and his brother.
His brother as well?
Teddy. Yeah, his brother Teddy's
on
the job.
So there is a lot of familial.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, both me and Marty sitting here today, both our fathers were firemen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad was, he was a lieutenant. He, 35 years. He had a heart attack at the Mount Greenwood Firehouse.
Oh, wow.
He died there in September of 96.
At the firehouse.
At the firehouse.
Yeah.
I've been a member of the Gold Badge. I want to give a shout-out to the Gold Badge. And
what's the Gold Badge?
That's the families of the firemen who died on died on duty. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Eileen Coglanese, Mary Rose McNamee, Colleen Brakey.
These are not women who died.
These are all the widows.
Oh, the widows. I get you.
And
okay.
Sons and daughters. We're all Gold Badgers just by
association, family.
Yeah, they helped my mom through a tough time.
Sure.
The fire department gave him a wonderful send off.
Yeah.
I always say my dad got off easy. He died in his sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Not like some of these other guys who get killed.
Was he asleep at the firehouse?
He died in his sleep. And, you know, me and my sisters were basically grown by then. I mean, you always feel for the guys with young kids. Never fails when lately it seems like when someone gets killed, it's someone with three small kids at home.
It's terrible. Do you guys know, are you familiar with the 100 Club?
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
yeah. We're having Joe Aaron. He's been on the show.
He's
coming again in February.
He's
really
awesome.
Is.
Absolutely.
He really is a terrific guy, and it's a terrific organization. Speaking of Rauner, I'll never forget when that Commander Bauer was killed. Rauner was grandstanding at the guy's funeral.
I wanted to puke.
Apropos of nothing. Sorry. But... it's not a scary job, you know, and you never think about it until it happens.
Right.
My
old man was hurt. I remember him being hurt several times, you know, back in the day. You know, back in the day, they didn't have what we have now. We're all union members here. Yeah. We're all local.
They didn't have a union, but
they didn't have a contract. It was a handshake with old man Daly.
Yeah.
There were more guys working the garbage trucks than were working the hooking ladders in the engines back then.
What about the Brotherhood of the Barrel?
That's right. You got two two guys here whose fathers were strikers.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is that the Brotherhood of the Barrel?
That's the Brotherhood of the Barrel, yeah. So when they went on strike back in 1980, February 14th of 1980, the only reason I remember is because my mother would never live it down because, you know, it was Valentine's Day and Dad's going out there to work the line, just as Marty's dad was out there on the line there on that strike line. And 23 days they went out, and it was one of the coldest winters in Chicago, is what my dad often refers it to.
You remember Mike McShane? Mike McShane? He was a member of the Brotherhood of the Barrel, right? And his brother Emmett.
I didn't know Emmett.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is all the folklore that I've gotten over the years.
Yeah.
Can I tell a quick story?
Absolutely.
I tend to rattle on. I was actually alive during the strike. Pat was not alive. But I was 9 years old.
Yeah.
My dad, they all the firemen who are on strike were, I guess they were entitled to, like, food stamps.
That was Jane Byrne was mayor then, right?
Yeah, I think Byrne the Witch was the word I heard in my house.
Wow.
But they were entitled to food stamps and that, but my dad said, absolutely not. I'm not going to go.
He would not take them.
He didn't want to get them. But my mom said, I'm not as proud as you.
Yeah.
And that's how a lot of the wives were.
Yes.
So I'm from St. Denis. I grew up at 84th and Lawndale, and at 84th and Pulaski was a jewel.
Yeah.
Right across from the best pizza in the world, Nick and Vito's. So you go into the jewel, though, and you got these food stamps, and I still remember going in there with my mom. My dad's at home with nothing to do. She goes, why don't you come up to the jewel? Nah, he was just in his mood.
Yeah.
But I remember being in the store, and when they would check out, when these strikers, and our neighborhood was full of firemen.
Yeah.
When they would check out, I remember they had to pull down. Remember they had to pull down?
Oh, yeah, and announce.
Need a price check on. They pull that thing down. They say, we got another striker's wife.
Are you kidding me?
Checking out.
They would do that?
And they were a union, too. All the jewel workers would stop, and everybody would
clap
for
them. Oh, they would applaud.
Clap for them. I still get goosebumps thinking about that.
Okay, wow. Okay, I thought they were dissing them.
Yeah, my mom would go home and tell him.
Yeah.
She goes, you should have been there. You should have seen
what
the neighborhood thinks about us. Yeah. And it was...
How long were they out?
23 days.
23 days, yeah.
That's a long time.
You know, everybody, you keep saying we're heroes in that. These guys back then, our dads and I had three uncles on the job, too.
Yeah.
These guys were, they got letters. My dad got three, four letters saying, you don't report to work, you're fired.
Yeah.
And he's got three kids at home, and my mom was a homemaker.
Yeah.
That's a hero.
Yeah.
We don't even have to think about something like that. That's...
Absolutely.
I can't even imagine what these guys were thinking back in the day.
And was this union not that strong then, or what?
No, they were very strong.
It was strong. Yeah, it was the strongest probably the union ever was.
Okay.
And I got to say, that's what got, you know, burns my interest here in the union is, obviously, look at them guys. They went out for 23 days. Marty's absolutely right. My dad's got five letters in the basement from Jane Byrne saying, if you don't report to work tomorrow, you're fired. And he
Burn
was only,
the witch.
Yeah, he was only on. He came out in 1978, so 2 years on the job. You know, for a young guy like that who's bought his first house there and having starting a family, that's a huge thing to try to do. And you know, thank God he did what he did, and I'm proud of what he did. And you know, I'm trying to honor him a little bit by some of the work that I do here with the union.
Do you guys have brothers? Any of you have brothers who are on the department or
no?
No, but if I was going to finish out the Doherty clan here, I had three uncles on the job, two that worked on the west side, engine 95 and truck 26, my uncles Jack and Kevin. My uncle Bernie was out of engine 101 on the south side. And then the second generation, I have mostly trader cousins. They're mostly cops.
Trader?
Yeah. I got Ray, who's a captain. I got John, who's a lieutenant. And I got a cousin, Mike, who's a fireman with me.
Oh,
John, and John and Mike are brothers.
Mike Doherty.
He acts on that show.
Oh, on the Chicago Fire,
He's assigned to that firehouse, so he's
he's
kind of the mayor over there now.
What firehouse is that? Where do they?
Engine 18. They run out of...
it's off Blue Island
14th
now.
14th and Blue Island, roughly.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But the funny story...
Ignatius, near where...
Yeah, right,
near
St. Ignatius.
Just south of St. Ignatius.
But the funny thing about that is that he has a son who is attacked. Last time I heard, he was attack officer. He has more time than his dad.
Oh.
So I always give him grief when I see him.
Hey, Marty, you know why God created firemen, right? So that policemen
would have
heroes.
You got to let me say it, Pat. You don't answer your own
Yeah,
question.
You set them up. Come on.
I'm always two steps ahead of the chief steward down there, you know?
There is a kinship between cops and firefighters, and that's a good thing, I think. So is there like a big fireman's banquet or anything every year where everybody gets together and trade stories, or you're too busy because everybody's working?
No, I tell you, probably one of the biggest events we have is the boxing event at De La Salle every year.
Is that the Fire versus Police?
Yeah, versus Police. You know, that's our one opportunity to actually
Battle of the Badges.
Battle of the Badges.
Yeah.
You know, we can beat on a cop legally.
I've been to that.
You know,
it's fun. Yeah,
and it's always a good event. It's always well attended.
Sure,
and a lot of good rivalries. Yeah, actually, Joe boxed the 1 year. Unfortunately, the female cop beat him.
He's teasing you. Unbelievable.
Eight years
yeah. He boxed in it.
Yeah, she got the better of him, you know.
Boy, talk about ball busting.
This is pretty much our day when we're
that's all we do around our work.
You're going to be a cop or a fireman, you need a little thick skin.
Yeah,
it's a good thing Murph's not here. Bill Murphy is not here, and neither is Kristen McCluskey. They're working today, but if they were here, I can only imagine how this would have gone.
Okay. Any final stories,
So, Hooley, yes. On behalf of the Bog here, we're going to give you a gift.
Oh, I hope it's money.
We were going to give you, still got a Local 2 shirt coming to you.
Oh, cool.
We were only stocked in small. I see your size is extra small.
Yeah.
So
XL.
Yeah, we're gonna get your contact information before we leave so we can send you a shirt. But on behalf of the Bog, we listen to a lot of Irish music here.
Oh, yeah.
And we got honorary Bog members, the Mary Plowboys.
Oh, they were just at Gaelic Park.
They'll be at Gaelic Park the day before the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Live by the Liffey, their first CD.
Do you guys listen to a lot of Irish music in the
absolutely.
Office?
Absolutely. We always have it on. It's always every day is St. Patrick's Day in the Bog, you know.
Tell everybody to listen to this show. You can get the podcast, HiberniaTransmedia.org, because you know, we're going to be alternating between police and firefighters and all the way down the line. So these are your people.
That's it. I'm a little biased there because I am the chaplain of the band.
This band?
The Mary Plowboys. Oh, yeah. That'd be a story for another time.
I thought these guys were from Ireland.
They are from Ireland.
Pat'll be back next week.
Yeah, my in-laws used to own the Dubliner on Western Avenue.
Yeah, so. PJ. PJ McCarthy, wasn't that him?
Way after them, the Minogues.
The Minogues?
Yes.
Mike Minogue? Is that his name?
Bill.
Bill Minogue, huh?
Mike Minogue is
the Dubliner at 105th and
109th.
Western.
109th? Yeah.
Okay.
109th and Western.
Yeah.
They just sold about 2 years ago.
Yeah, they sold it to Jack Kelly. He called it, I can't remember what
Kelly's
it was.
Kelly's Tap.
And then Kelly sold it another Home Run Inn, I believe.
No, the Home Run Inn was next door to it.
Yeah, but they did, Hooley. They bought it out, and Home Run Inn's going to expand.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I know anything about the pubs on Western.
No.
But that was a fireman's pub.
Yes.
The Dubliner, yeah.
Bucko used to own it, who was a fireman.
Bucko?
Yes.
Yeah.
And my in-laws bought it.
And he also had a joint called Bucko's.
My in-laws bought it from him.
There's a writer out in Beverly named Dennis Foley, and he has a new book called The Blue Circus. It's all about guys who work in the sanitation trucks, you know. And there's a big fight in the back of the Dubliner, in the alley behind there where he's waiting to get a guy. I highly recommend. It's all about your people, you know, but you would dig it.
I might have been in a fight or two behind Club Dub in my day, too.
Oh, really? Out in the alley there? Yeah.
Never. Us casualty guys, well, you got along with everyone.
We salute you guys. Come back. Please come back. And if you want to suggest someone for the show,
we got a lot of suggestions. Where's the suggestion box at?
Yeah.
It's a wonderful idea, Mike. I really think it's a great idea. I saw some stuff on the internet about the suicides and all that.
60%.
It's
absolutely more suicides in the Chicago Police Department than anywhere in the country. That's
I'm
terrible.
At a loss at these for these poor policemen. And,
yeah.
And there are some firemen that need some help, too.
Sure. I think one of them...
you know, there's something to what they do every day, and it affects everyone differently.
Yeah.
And
well, just to be exposed to
really
that trauma on a
We really need
basis.
To get a handle on it. I think it's a great idea. Maybe you would have the chaplains on one night.
Sure.
Yeah, I was actually going to suggest that.
Get
you know?
The EAP guys from either FOP or
Employment
the
Assistance
local
Program.
Yes.
Is that what that
absolutely.
Is? Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be a great idea.
All right.
Yes.
One team, one fight.
That's
yes.
good. Well, hey, send them to me because we want them. We're here to honor our Irish first responders. So thank you, guys. Pat, Bill, Marty, God bless you all.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show. Come back again.
Absolutely. Anytime we're invited, we'll be back.
Okay. You're invited right now. I'm inviting you. Okay. We're going to take a little break here on the Hibernian Radio Show. We'll be right back after these messages from our friends.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982 when they started their first store where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero, or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell them Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did. There's only one Irish pub in the Chicago River, and that's Lizzie McNeil's at 400 North McClure Court. We spend a lot of time there, taping the Hibernian radio show at Lizzie McNeil's every Wednesday night. You can escape the hustle and bustle of Navy Pier and relax at Lizzie McNeil's. Our old pal John Wren is your host. Please say hello when you stop by for one of their ice-cold brews in an authentic Irish pub. One visit and you'll be calling it your hometown hangout. We've been hanging at Lizzie's for going on 10 years now, so join us. When the weather gets nice, they have two outdoor patio areas where you can take advantage of the sunshine and a cafe menu of salads, sandwiches, and appetizers. Lizzie's also has a great private party room that's perfect for birthdays, graduations, and most nights at Lizzie's you can meet the elite of Chicago's Irish-American community. So stop by Lizzie McNeil soon, right by the river, and tell them you were sent by your old pal Hooley. Thanks.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
This is Mike Houlihan. I support Concern Worldwide. If you want to do something about global poverty, hunger, refugees, the unacceptable suffering of young children, if you want to reach people directly where the need is greatest, you should too. For 50 years, since its grassroots beginnings in Dublin, Concern has saved and changed millions of lives. It's been the proud, relentlessly compassionate face of Ireland to the world. Support Concern today at ConcernUSA.org. That's ConcernUSA.org. There is no more Irish thing you can do.
Hey, those guys were great, weren't they? The firefighters. Let's give another shout out to them. Pat Kwan, Marty Doherty, and Bill Oswald. The Chicago Fire Department, God bless them. Put their lives on the line every day for us. You know, Billy, whenever I'm walking down Western Avenue, I look in the window of Ken's or Wrong's or Hart's or any of those great Irish saloons and see the ghost of my old pal Jimmy Goff through the mist. And he says to me, hey, holy hooda. Patricia Trish Carter, beloved wife of John Jack Carter for 42 years, loving mother of Kevin, the late Colleen, Brian, Brendan, and Kathleen. She was an alumni of Little Flower Grammar School and High School and St. Zav's. God rest her soul, Trish Carter. Also, John Tolan, age 60, a son to Ann and William Tolan. The late Ann and William, and a brother to Christine Murphy, Carolyn Caulfield, Kathy McGowan, and Mary O'Donnell. What John most loved in his life are his two surviving daughters, Bridget and Lucy. He loved any chance to brag about them and sharing life's great moments with them. His Irish heritage gave him a great love for Irish music, a pint of beer, and a good story. He will be remembered for his kindness, loyalty, and generosity. And he was waked at Sheehy's, where all the right people go. Okay, PJ only had two for me this week. Big shout out to PJ and his lovely wife, Mary. So we wrap up, close up the crypt. And let me tell you a few things. Hey, if you're headed over to Western Avenue tonight or anytime this week and stop in and say hello to our friends Mary and Bernard at Barney Callahan's Irish Pub, 10618 Southwestern. It's the perfect Southside Irish bar, and there's always something going on there. And tell them Hooley sent you. You know, March 9th and 10th, they're kicking off St. Patrick's Day season at Barney Callahan's with Fela. It's a celebration of Irish culture. This two-day event will showcase traditional Irish music and dance. There will be workshops, food, and, of course, drink. Of course! Come join them at the pub where it all began. A detailed schedule coming soon. Also want to remind you to drop in and see our friends Mike Courtney and his wife Dawn at the Twisted Shamrock Irish Pub, 6462 South Central Avenue. It's one of the best Irish pubs in Midway area, and Mike and Dawn will take great care of you. Also, shout out to our friends at Celtic Boxing Club, located on Chicago's South Side in the Mount Greenwood, Beverly Hills neighborhood. The Celtic Boxing Club was founded in 1993 by our old pal Mike Joyce, Chicago attorney and lifetime resident in Chicago. The club was started to give neighborhood kids a place to learn the art of boxing, the sweet science, and to offer a positive outlet. Drop by the Celtic Boxing Club at 3012 West 111th Street or call them at 773-779-7266. Also, the Irish American News has been bringing you the news important to the community for over 40 years. If you like mostly good news and information from all facets of the Irish community, check out the Irish American News, usually in any pub, or you call them for a subscription. To advertise or subscribe, call 847-872-0700 or email Cliff at cliff@irishamericannews.com. Also want to tell everybody, you know, we're very involved with the Ancient Order of Hibernians. This Sunday, tomorrow, is their big event, Sunday, January 27th, the Texas Hold'em Poker Tournament at Sixpenny Bit Pub, 5800 West Montrose. Is going to be held to benefit the Freedom Fund for All Ireland. The starting time is 1:30 with a $50 buy-in. The event is run by Kevin and Brendan O'Malley. Kevin is the president of the Hibernians. All are welcome to play and support the Freedom Fund for All Ireland this Sunday, January 27th. Don't miss it. Also, Division 32 of the Hibernians, February 7th, they're having their general meeting. If you're interested in becoming a Hibernian, just show up Thursday, February 7th at the Irish American Heritage Center. You can become a member. Tell them Hooley sent you. They're also having a great meeting. They have subs for dinner that night. The pub is right down the hall. I'll probably be there. I'm looking forward to seeing you February 7th at the AOH meeting at the Irish American Heritage Center. We're going to take another break here on the Hibernian Radio Show, and we'll be right back to head to Hooley Town right after these messages from our friends.
There's no friend like an old friend. Southside Cousins Mike and Dick Haggerty have been selling cars for over 45 years. They've been in business together since 1982 when they started their first store where everybody in the old neighborhood bought their cars. I go way back with the Haggertys. Mike's a Mount Carmel alum and Dick is St. Ignatius. Dick and Mike have been particularly classy to me over the years. Whenever I visit their showroom, it's old school. Buick GMC at 9301 South Cicero or the Volkswagen store at 89th and Cicero, both in Oak Lawn. So do yourself a favor. Get to know the Haggerty family. You'll be delighted you did. I'm currently driving a used car I bought at Haggerty's. It's a gem. And when I think I got lucky, I have to tell myself, no, it's because Haggerty took good care of me. God bless him. Call him today at 708-423-5000, 708-423-5000, or go to HaggertyCars.com. Generations of Southside Irish have been happily driving Haggerty cars for generations. Visit Mike Haggerty Buick and GMC at 93rd and Cicero, and Mike Haggerty Volkswagen at 89th and Cicero. And tell him Hooley sent you. And if you're a first responder, you just might get a better deal than I did. When your family has suffered a loss, there's one family I know who will be there for you. Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Homes are third generation, family owned and operated. The Sheehy family has dedicated their lives serving families throughout Chicago and the southwest suburbs. The Robert J. Sheehy & Sons Funeral Home was incorporated in 1913 as a storefront at 76th and Halsted in Chicago. At the time, this was one of the few standalone funeral homes of its kind and was to be the first of many to come bearing the Sheehy name. The founder, Roger Sheehy Sr., was soon joined in business by his three sons, Roger Jr., Jack, and Bob. This trademark of service is evident 98 years later, as Bob and Jim Sheehy, third generation, own and operate two locations in Orland Park and Burbank. At Sheehy's, the name on their sign outside the funeral home means something. For them, it's very important that everyone be treated as if they were family, friend, or neighbor, as they very well could be. When my brother Willie died a few years ago, the Sheehys took very good care of our family. And you know, you never forget something like that. Their entire staff cares about each and every family they serve. Every detail is handled in a professional and personal manner. On a daily basis, the directors Bill Kiley, Mike LaRock, and John Sullivan, and the rest of the staff take great pride in their work, serving families as if they were their own. Bob Sheehy will tell you, we pride ourselves on offering the highest level of professionalism with every family we serve. Robert J. Sheehy and Sons Funeral Homes, here for you since 1913.
McCann's Irish Oatmeal. We've been warming the hearts, minds, and souls of the most discriminating oatmeal lovers for over 150 years. From the family farm to your table, enjoy the whole grain goodness of McCann's Irish Oatmeal today. Available at your local grocery store.
With a history going all the way back to 1896, the International Union of Operating Engineers has continued to protect workers and their families with loyalty and brotherhood. Local 150 has continued to thrive through economic booms and busts with careful training and aggressive organizing. Under the leadership of President and Business Manager Jim Sweeney, Local 150 has implemented programs and action plans to create work, protect benefits, and keep members working. And they've been helping the Irish-American community of Chicagoland for just as long. The Hibernian Radio Show is proud to be associated with Jim Sweeney and Local 150, and we salute the continuing efforts of the International Union of Operating Engineers and their support of Irish and Irish-American families now and in the future. Thanks to Local 150.
I'll tell you a story, it's no Jack and Nori, about a young one from town. From humble beginnings and no sweepstake winnings, you'll hear of our ups and our downs. She married the sailor, left Monty the tailor, and off to the States they were bound. To live with her sister, who swore that she missed her, and so an adventure was found. Now by now, there's no matter creature, you'd want showing up at your door. For the start of your party, there's no one more crafty than this woman from Ireland's green shore. Oh, while she was there, she'd a boy and a girl, and a husband who gave everything. To make her life better, he told her he'd get her everything in life he could bring. In the homeboard, she found it quite absurd to spend all her days far away. So they packed up the cases, said goodbye to fond faces, and left the US of A. Her old life was sewing, her new life all knowing about everything going on. She'd extract information from our conversation, and you wouldn't even know till she's gone. They got a house settled in and embraced whatever life threw the way. For good signs and bad, both happy and sad, they shrugged it all off, no dismay. Growing gracefully old, was distastefully bold, not caring what others might say. Well, that's what she said, and that's in me head, and forever in there it will stay. My. She loved a surprise, and one day she sprang one on us. While out exercising, she tripped and went flying, but didn't make much of a fuss. She broke her hip walking while too busy talking, no doubt giving out about me, da. Now she's pushing up daisies, we miss her like crazy. Would you all raise your glass to me, ma?
And that was the great Billy Tracy out in Dublin. He was listening to our show. He sent us that song. I think it's terrific. Check it out on YouTube under Billy, T-R-E-A-C-Y. It's a tribute to his mother. God bless him. And I think we're going to Hooleytown now.
Deep in the south side of Chicago.
Get me out of here.
So deep. All the way up to 93rd Street.
Get me out of here, please.
Across the tracks where they only spoke Yaki Dot.
Oh.
And the people barely survived on a strict diet of crunchy bones and bamboo.
Hey, man, you want another drink?
Yes.
Can I get you two?
This yeah. This is almost 70 years we're talking.
70
when
years?
The mixed what? His teeth,
oh.
Something entered his cranium.
His cranium?
And wormed around his frontal lobes and took him to a state of mind.
Mind.
Hidden place on the other side of bunkers.
Welcome.
A crazy, silly, screwy.
Have a seat.
Known as... Hooleytown.
Hooleytown.
Welcome to Hooleytown. Don't stay too long, though.
How come?
Because you might not come back. Welcome to Hooleytown.
Why, thank you.
And you're welcome.
Yeah. Welcome to Hooleytown. So glad you could join us. Hey, Billy, you know, whenever I need some help, could you please give me a hand with this door? Okay, we're in Hooleytown now, baby. Adam Baldwin's son, Raphael, was so proud of himself after peeing in his sippy cup.
Who cares?
Alec Baldwin pleads guilty in harassment, agreed to anger management after parking dispute.
Who cares?
Anne Hathaway vows not to drink for 18 years to be a better mom for her toddler son.
Who cares?
Chelsea Clinton is pregnant. Yikes!
Who cares?
Tom Arnold confirms split from wife Ashley Grouseman. It's a long time coming. You ain't kidding.
Who cares?
Prince Philip's crash victim slams him in a new interview after breaking her wrist during the accident. Emma Fairweather is royally pissed off at the Duke of Edinburgh.
Who cares?
Prince Harry targeted by neo-Nazis for marrying Meghan Markle in latest royal crisis.
Who cares?
And finally... Betty White hooked on vodka at the age of 97.
Who cares?
Okay. You know, I have a little story. I have a couple of stories, but very quickly, I just want to tell you about it. There were two muffins baking in the oven. And one muffin says to the other, oh, man, it's getting hot in here. Is it just me? And the other muffin says, ah, it's a talking muffin. Hey, what a great time I had tonight. Thanks so much for listening. Tune in to you'll be hearing more from Billy Tracy. So great to have these great Chicago firefighters on the show tonight. God bless them. God bless you all. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. We got Pat Johnson on the show next week. Great Chicago police officer. And we will see you later. Bye.
Yes, I wondered. Oh, Lord, I wondered. I looked down the road and I wondered just to see how far I was from God. And I buckled up my shoes and then I started walking. Up my shoes and I started walking.